was supposed to be here. I was said earlier, I'm the backup to the backup. So anyway, Pastor Bowen, he's out of town. And then Pastor Carlos is not feeling well. So anyway, that's how that has happened. So I want to continue with what Pastor Bowen typically does. Starts off with a joke. So we'll see how this goes. Now, just to let you know, I'm in the medical field, so I'll explain it at the end if we need to. So we have two people, and this one, they're both good friends. And one is, he's always been an encourager. His whole life, he's always been encouraging, always saying things to encourage people. Unfortunately, this guy he was friends with, the one who was the encourager, he was in the hospital, he passed away. They had trouble in the hospital figuring out his blood type. Now, the one thing, even though he was dying, one thing that he was saying, he said it over and over and over again. He was always an encourager, even to the last minute. And he kept saying the same thing over and over. And so this other guy, he said, yes, yes, I will do that. Yes, I will. Thank you for that. Thank you for thinking of other people in times like this. And at times he would shout this out. As he continued to fade away, it would get softer and softer. And what he said was, be positive, be positive, be positive. Okay, now, if you don't know, that's a type of blood type. There's A, B, so anyway. All right, we'll see how the rest of the sermon goes after that now. So anyway, whenever I was asked to do this, I didn't know exactly what all to cover. And my wife did help me out, so I got to put in a plug in for her. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 6, and so if you have your Bible, you can turn to that. But I like this passage in Scripture, and I think it has some definitely has application today. It has application in a number of different ways, but we're going to cover that. Now, the title of my sermon is Uncertain Times. And so can we kind of feel like things are a little bit uncertain? I think really 2020 has just been a year of uncertainty. We start with COVID, and who would have thought that a virus would have done what it has done? And it's not just the United States that's affected. It was the whole world. Everything, almost everything shut down. If someone would have told me that a year ago, I would have said, you're crazy. There is no way that stuff is going to shut down. That was right around the Big Ten tournament. It was getting ready to start. And so I thought, no way that things will be shut down. There's too much money involved to shut things down. It's too popular to shut down. And it did. And we're still having issues with COVID now. And we continue to move on to other things, riots that have happened, and so much uncertainty with that. Really, we had a few things hit kind of close to home with the riots, even in Champaign. You had talk about defund the police. Of course, we have elections that are coming up, and so there's always uncertainty. I suppose there's always uncertainty anytime there is an election, and so it seems like this year, of course, is no exception, is to the uncertainty. Who's going to win? What's it going to be like with whoever wins? We've been dealing with the Supreme Court nomination. Is that going to pass, or what's going to happen with that? Again, uncertainty with that. We think about school. Where are we going to have it? That was so much debate with it before. Are we going to have it, not have it? How long are we going to have it for? So there's, again, just a lot of uncertainty with it. I think another uncertainty is me being up here, so as well. But this is not the first time in history that there's been uncertainty. Really, you go back the United States, there's always been uncertainty. Talk about 9/11. Different wars we've been a part of, really just throughout the all of history. And the Bible is no exception. What we're going to cover in 2 Kings, there is no exception as well. There is uncertainty. And so whenever we have uncertainty, what do we think of? Well, oftentimes we can have some fear that can come in, some stress, anxiety. And how do we respond to uncertainty? Now, in 2 Kings, again, 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to see what Elisha does in uncertainty. And really, you get a sense of calmness with him. He's not afraid. Now, he sees something that we're going to cover, but again, you see a peace with him. Now, I want to give you some background on 2 Kings before we get into that. I think it's important to know where things are at in the Bible. The Bible is not just a bunch of random stories that just happen to be put in here and there. There's order. Our God is a God of order, and there's order in the Bible. And so I mentioned Elisha. Now, don't get confused with Elijah. Okay, so let me say that again. So we have Elijah. We're going to be talking about Elisha. Okay, so it can get a little bit confusing. Elijah, he would mentor Elisha. Elijah, he was one that, if you remember, that was on Mount Carmel, is whenever he called down fire and it consumed the altar that he had built. And also another thing is that he was taken up in fire chariots. He never died. He was one that never died. Well, there was two in the Bible who have never died. Elijah is one. Enoch is another one. But again, we're not talking about Elijah. This is Elisha. Now, more of a popular story is with Naaman, if you've heard of him. He had a skin disease such as leprosy. He was from Syria, which is across the border, and he wanted to be cured. And so he had heard of Elisha, and so he went there, and Elisha said, well, go to the Jordan River, dunk yourself there, and you'll be healed. And so eventually Naaman did that. Other things, he had an axe head float. He fed 1,000 prophets with 20 loaves of bread. We're familiar with Jesus filling or feeding 4,000 people, 5,000, actually 5,000 men, 4,000 men. So there would have been even more people there than that. But again, he did that, fed 100 prophets. He raised a child from the dead, and he also parted the Jordan River. Now, that's not the Red Sea. That was Moses. But that was another thing that he has done. So Elisha's, he is a prophet for the northern kingdom. All right, now, let me make sure we understand what this is. That we have the northern kingdom and also the southern kingdom. The northern, they were united at one time. And they were a kingdom, which they had the first king, which was Saul. And then after that is David. And then you had Solomon and then Rehoboam. With Rehoboam, that's whenever the kingdoms split. So you had the north, 10 tribes went to the north, 2 tribes went to the south. And so he is a prophet for the northern kingdom. Now, the northern kingdom is notorious for being evil. Now, the southern kingdom is not much better, but they did have some godly kings. The northern kingdom didn't have any godly kings. And so, of course, he has his work cut out. His ministry lasted for about 50 years. The king at the time of Israel was the 10th king in line, which was King Jehoram. And what we're seeing in 2 Kings is the king of Syria, he is coming over and raiding the towns. He's plundering. And so, and that's would be typical for what they do. That's why you'd build city walls to help protect your city. So what the king of Syria was doing was he was coming over and raiding. But what you had Elisha was doing was he knew where his men would be at. If you know where the men are going to be at, well, then you can protect the city. You can have more guards there. You can be ready for the fight that's going to take place. And so he was frustrating the king of Syria. And the king of Syria, he was saying, well, who is the spy here? Who is telling the king of Israel where I'm at, where I'm going to attack? And they said, well, it's not us. It's this man, Elisha. And so he says, well, bring him to me. I want him. And so that's what you're going to see. And then we're going to see it here in a little bit as well, is what his response is. So I'm going to turn there if I can. There's not much room to work on. So again, I'm in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8, if you want to follow along with me. Again, 2 Kings 6, starting with verse 8. It says, once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, at such and such a place shall be my camp. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there. And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him. so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." And he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him." It was told him, "Behold, he is in Dothan." So he sent there horses and chariots and a great army. And they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He said, and pay attention to this, he said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That's where I'm going to stop. If you want to see what happens next, you can read it on your own with that. But I want us to focus on what did he see? You read that passage, and so he was seeing horses and chariots of fire. I can't imagine what that would have looked like. And really, we're not used to something like that. So we have to use our imagination. And so what's in your mind is probably going to be different than what's in my mind. But whatever it is, it's something great, something powerful, and just a sense of awe with what he had seen. So again, what do we know? Well, again, we know it's horses and chariots of fire, something that we're not used to. And just to kind of touch on the horses and chariots, is that's how you're going to win a war back in those days. And so you can have soldiers. Soldiers are great to have, but you need horses and chariots. It's kind of like with us. We don't use horses and chariots anymore. We use tanks. We use fighter jets. And so if you're going to win, you need that. And so that's what they have. So this commands respect right there is if you have horses and chariots. But now these are horses and chariots of fire, so they're going to be looking different than what they were used to seeing. Also, we know that the mountain was full of it. And so we're not just seeing one or two. We're seeing that whatever he saw, it was pretty impressive, and there was a lot. It also says that there was more of God's army than there was of the Syrian army. And we already know that with the passage is that he was bringing a great army. So there's not just a few Syrians that are there. There's a great army of them. But however many there were, God's army had more. And then you also look at Elisha's response. Elisha, he didn't have any fear. He didn't care. He was like, "Well, look what I see. I'm not worried a bit." Now, really, in reality, if he didn't see that, he should be scared. You think about what we do know from the passage is that one is that he was surrounded. So the city was surrounded. You're in bad shape. They are after one person, and that is you. And so you should be scared. Also, again, I already mentioned that there's horses and chariots. So it's not just a few men that he's bringing. He's not bringing just men. He's bringing horses and chariots. He means business. The king of Syria means business, and he's ready to take you out. Also, likely where he was at probably was not highly protected. I'm sure that there were some guards there, but it was not highly protected. And then you also see the servant's response. His servant, he was what? He was scared. Like, this doesn't look good at all. What are we going to do? Now, I want to share a little bit about just angels. And so what does the Bible tell us? Well, it doesn't tell us a ton of information, but it does give us some information. And so one is they're created being, created by God. The other is that one angel wiped out 185,000 Assyrians. And we read that whenever they attacked the southern kingdom. One angel wiped out 185,000. In Hebrews 12, it says there's an innumerable amount of angels. So there's a lot. Lots and lots of angels. In Matthew 26, this is with Jesus. He's at the Garden of Gethsemane, and his disciples don't know what's going on, but they know that Christ is in trouble. And so some of them at least are ready to fight. But what does Jesus say with all calmness? He's saying that, hey, do you not realize that I can call 12 legions of angels and the problem is taken care of? Now, legion is going to be 6,000. So he was saying I could have 72,000 at my disposal right now and there's no worries. And so again, one angel can take out 185,000. So there's nothing to be too worried about. Whenever Jesus said that. And so, again, you can kind of sense that, well, maybe that's why Elisha was calm. Now, whenever we think of angels, what do we kind of think about? Sometimes I think about an angel looking kind of wimpy. I think of them looking like us, looking like people, and they have some wings, white robes. Looks like they probably have never worked before in their life. They're probably not very strong, flying from one cloud to another cloud. But that's not the sense that Elisha, that he saw anything like that. I would say what Elisha saw is he saw a force that he's never probably seen before. And I'm sure the Syrians looked rather scary with their spears and their swords. But whatever he saw, he did not see a bunch of wimpy angels. I would say that he saw power. He saw toughness. And he saw someone that you would not want to cross. And so those are not the angels that sometimes we might see depicted in some of the artwork that we have or pictures that people might show of an angel. One example I want to bring up is a buffalo. Now, we've been out to Yellowstone. Maybe you guys have been out there or seen some buffalo. Buffalo look like they're about as lazy as can be. They look like they're slow. They're weak. Usually, they're just sitting. Sometimes they're standing. Sometimes they're standing right in the middle of the road, and you can't do anything when you're in Yellowstone. But we were driving at night, and these buffalo came alive. And there was two males. I would assume they're males. And they were going at it. And wow, you saw power. And they were fast. They were strong. And that was something where I would not want to mess with a buffalo. Even a buffalo who's just sitting there nice and calm, looks like he's asleep. I am not going to mess with that thing because that's power. Now, I would say that there's a sense of power that we can't even imagine with angels. Now, I already mentioned that they are created beings. And so God has infinitely more power than the angels do. So whatever Elisha saw was power, but there is even greater power with God. So I want to go back to, you know, how are we with uncertainty? You know, fear can really start overtaking us. You think about all the stuff that's been going on in 2020 and really what's going to continue on is that fear can overtake us. We can get too worried about stuff and what's going to happen. It could be even our health. What's going to happen with that? What's going to happen with a loved one? Well, let me tell you this story here. And this is in the New Testament. This is the rich man and Lazarus. Now, this is not the Lazarus who was raised from the dead. But this is the rich man and Lazarus. And so the rich man, he went to hell, and then Lazarus, he went to heaven. And the rich man, he cried out to Abraham. He's saying, this is awful where I'm at. Tell my brothers that this place is awful. You don't want to come down here. And Abraham's response was, well, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear the stories of Scripture. Let them hear Scripture. And the rich man's like, no, that's not good enough. And Abraham's response was, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if Lazarus comes back from the dead. And so what is this emphasis on? Well, the emphasis is on Scripture. Is what does Scripture say? Now, let's kind of see what the Scripture says about power with God. In Psalm 62:11, it says, power belongs to God. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear not, for I am with you. Now, I think it would be so nice to be able to see what Elisha saw. I think sometimes if we could see something like that, then some of the fear that we might have can just kind of fade away. I touched on some of this last night in our family devotion time, is our girls, sometimes they get a little bit scared going outside when it's dark. We have some coyotes, and sometimes you hear the coyotes howling, and like, oh, I don't want to go out there at that time. And I said, well, what if you had like a horse and chariot of fire beside you? Well, yeah, okay, I could be okay in a time like that. And so sometimes I think that's what we want to rely on, is being able to see something. But hey, Scripture is saying that I am with you, God is with you. And so if God is saying that, well, so what Elisha saw, which was powerful, God is even more powerful. And God is saying, hey, I'm with you. Those angels, those chariots of fire that Elisha saw, and he wasn't afraid. Well, hey, I'm more powerful, and I am right there with you. Jesus says in Matthew 28:20, he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. So right there should be reassuring enough, is that, hey, whatever Elisha saw, is that we have that same power beside us, but we have greater power. So again, we can't have calmness. And so I would say, you know, what's our view of Scripture? Do we trust what Scripture says? And also, I would say, do we know it? Now, I'm going to go to this next passage in the New Testament. And this is Jesus' final week. And he goes to the temple, and he's being questioned like crazy. Everybody can't wait to trip him up. They think they got the perfect way to trip him up. And so the Sadducees, they think they got him mixed up in his words. And so Jesus says, well, no. Now, what you're saying is wrong. He says, you do not know the Scripture nor the power of God. And so he's putting those together, is that, hey, you Sadducees, you don't know Scripture and you don't know the power of God. I wonder if that's where we're at times, is we don't know the power of God because we don't know our Scripture. I think we need to put the right emphasis on Scripture. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So what we see there is we see power. The Bible that we have is power. Now, how do we use it? How do we use our Bible? Well, sometimes we don't use a period, which is really just unacceptable, is that we have something that is so powerful right in our hands, and we're not going to use it. But it's going to give us advice on all aspects. Sometimes we want to get our advice elsewhere. Sometimes we want to say, well, what do the experts have to say on it? I'm going to find some person who has more of an opinion on it, and I'm going to find out what they have to say. That's a terrible place to start. It's going to tell you how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to be a father, how to be a mother. If you're a child, well, how should you act as a child? It's going to tell you that. It's going to talk about the church. What's the church supposed to be like? How is it supposed to operate? It talks about your finances, employees, employers. It can even give you advice on the presidential election. You can apply principles. So what we need to do is we need to get into His Word. We need to study His Word and apply it. If we can do that, then we can recognize the power of God. And I'll say, if you don't understand the power of God, get into His Word. Get into it and study it. Now, sometimes what we get worried about is we're not sure if things are going to work out the way we want it to. Sometimes we think, well, I don't think God's going to answer it the way I want it to be answered. Well, let me say, His ways are not your ways, and His thoughts are not your thoughts. And sometimes we might get a little bit of persecution. And actually, in 2 Timothy, it says in chapter 3, verse 12, it says, everyone who wants to live a godly life will face persecution. Now, I would say if you're not having any persecution, you may not be living a godly life. And so I would make sure that persecution is okay. And persecution can be a good thing. And so again, if you're not having any persecution, if Satan's not trying to attack you in one way or another, I'd be a little bit concerned. You may not be living a godly life. Luke 21:12, it says, they will persecute you because of my name. He's talking about Jesus here. Again, you're going to be persecuted because of my name, because of Jesus. So, again, God is in control. We may not always think of it. And even in this uncertain time, we can think that, well, God, where are you? But, you know, God is around. God is here. God has said, Christ has said that he is going to be with us always. And so what Elisha saw on that mountain, what he saw was something pretty amazing. And we have access to that same power, and God is all around us. And so that is where I'm going to be closing at today. But again, I want you to get into God's word. And so we're going to pray. Lord, we thank you for these people that are here. And we pray that we can have the right view of Scripture, that it can be the foundation of our faith, and that we can start with Scripture with any aspect of our life, and that we can apply your word, apply your principles. And Lord, even during this time of uncertainty, we know that you're with us, that you're all around us. And we're thankful for your word that you've given us in 2 Kings with Elisha, how he had full confidence in where you were at and what you were doing in his life. And we pray that we can have calmness during this uncertain times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Imagine.